You know, one of the sayings that we use around here is all in. Are you all in? Have you stepped over that threshold and to the full commitment? How many have realized it doesn't work any other way? You can't be halfway about this way, this thing. You can't be lukewarm. You're either in or you're not. What we need to understand, folks, first of all, is that God is all in for you. That God is totally, totally, totally committed to you. God is committed to you. God's name is faithful and true. He is faithful. He is faithful to his people. And it becomes easier for us to let go of us and to step fully in when we know that he's all in for us. Are you hearing me? We have to come to a place where we are at full abandon and with our trust in him. We're not holding back. We're not, you know, sort of trusting God and then trusting us. We've got to let it all go. If you want to walk in life, you've got to step over that threshold into the full commitment, the full surrender of your heart, your life, your future, everything to Jesus Christ. And in that, you will find your life. In him is our life, you see. When we try to save ourselves, we lose ourselves. We lose our life. But if we lose our life for his sake in the gospel, we find it. When we step over that line and make the full plunge, if you will, that's where we find freedom and life in the Spirit. God committed himself to Israel. And in Jeremiah 31, verse 3, I'm just going to read to you. This is from the New Living Translation. Long ago, the Lord said to Israel, I have loved you, my people, with an everlasting love. With unfailing love, I have drawn you to myself. I will rebuild you, my virgin Israel. You will again be happy and dance merrily with your tambourines. Again, you will plant your vineyards on the mountains of Samaria and eat from your own gardens there. The day will come when watchmen will shout from the hill country of Ephraim, come, let us go up to Jerusalem to worship the Lord our God. Jeremiah 31, verse 6. So here God has promised Israel that he's going to restore her, that the people are going to return from all the nations where they had been scattered. And instead of mourning, there's going to be singing. Now, as you know, we look at what's happening in our world today and we see a lot of unrest. We see a lot of problems, even in our own nation. We see Israel under constant threat and under attack. And yet God has promised, because God is faithful to his promises. God has promised Israel that he would bring them back to the land, and there would be a time when their mourning would be turned into dancing, that God was going to return their captivity, that he will remove the veil from their eyes and they will begin to recognize that Jesus Christ is the true Messiah, that he is their God and their King. And you and I who are in Christ Jesus, who have been grafted into the vine, amen, are also one with him. In Christ Jesus, there's no longer Jew nor Gentile, bond nor free, male nor female, but all are one in Christ Jesus. God is bringing together both Gentile and Jew into one new man, amen. But God has got a specific purpose for Israel, and the time is coming, as Jesus had declared, that he's going to come and he's going to take his throne in that place, in that city. In Jeremiah 3:14, he said, return, O backsliding children, says the Lord, for I am married to you. Covenant. I will take you from one city and two from a family, and I will bring you to Zion. What he means, Zion, he means bring back to Israel, all right? Even in Jerusalem. And I will give you shepherds according to my heart, who will feed you with knowledge and understanding. Then it shall come to pass when you are multiplied and increased in the land in those days, says the Lord, that they will say no more, listen, the ark of the covenant of the Lord. It shall not come to mind, nor shall they remember it, nor shall they visit it, nor shall it be made anymore. How many know that God does not live in temples made by hands? At that time, Jerusalem shall be called the throne of the Lord. And all the nations, somebody say all, shall be gathered to it, to the name of the Lord, to Jerusalem. No more shall they follow the dictates of their evil hearts. Now, these verses are speaking about the millennial reign of Christ, this thousand-year reign. And there's not going to be any need for the ark, the literal ark of God anymore. Why? Because Jesus, amen, has fulfilled all of that. He has now qualified you and I to be the temple of the Holy Spirit, that He would dwell in us. And that was the mystery that had been sealed through the ages, but has now been revealed to us by the Holy Spirit. That is Christ in you and me, right? Christ in you, the hope of glory. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. But Jesus is literally returning, folks, in clouds of glory, just like He said. And He's going to take His throne in Jerusalem, and He shall reign over all the earth. And so the time is coming when all this that we see happening now, that's causing so many to live in fear, and many are suffering as a result of the chaotic situation we see going on in our world, God is going to come, amen, in the person of His Son, Jesus Christ. And He shall put down all rule and all authority, and He shall reign as King of kings and Lord of lords, amen. And all nations shall be gathered before Him, hallelujah. And there's coming a great judgment of the nations. He shall separate the sheep from the goats. And today we're not going to get too much into that, except that we know that God is a promise keeper. If God promised Israel that they would have a land, amen, then they're going to have a land regardless of what the heathen nations try to accomplish militarily or otherwise. There is no way that God is going to take His eye off Israel, amen, because He says, "You are the apple of my eye." God's got His eye on there. And if you want to know what's happening on the world prophetic timetable right now, take a look at Israel. But His throne shall be there. And the Jewish people, how many have been coming for years now? They've been returning to the land just as it had been prophesied. So listen, whenever God makes a promise, whenever God makes a covenant with man, He fully commits Himself to it. I know sometimes we wonder if God is really meaning what He says. Has anybody ever questioned God? Anybody ever had maybe a moment, not even a moment of doubt? Wow, I got to shake your hand because you're the only one. We've all had moments when we've questioned. We've wondered, God, are you there? God, have you forgotten me? How many have received promises from the Lord? If it's a promise from the Lord, He will accomplish it. He will do it. Make sure it's a promise from the Lord. Amen? And it's not some parking lot prophet speaking sweet nothings in your ear. Come on. Flattering you for advantage, so you'll follow after them and not Christ. Be careful. Problem is that we want the benefits. Mankind wants the benefits of a covenant, but not necessarily the commitment. But people are quick sometimes of jumping into relationships or even coming into compacts, you know, or agreements. And yet slow sometimes to keep that which we have committed to. And yeah, there are many who want the benefits of a marriage simply because it's a marriage of convenience. Now, many people, what they call love is actually convenient love and not covenant love. And this is the reason why many relationships don't last. When God makes a promise, He's a promise keeper. He always holds up His end. He's always going to remain faithful to us, folks. He's waiting for us to come into agreement. Let us agree together, says the Lord. Amen? So because he's faithful, we can trust him, folks, with our whole being, our whole life, our whole future. Everything is safe in his hands. You know, it's not safe to try to hold back from God. It's not safe to hold back from God when he's telling you to let it go. Whatever you place in his hands is safe. If you've committed your soul to him, your soul is safe in him. If you're trusting him, amen, that's a good place to be. But we've got to trust him completely because he's completely and totally committed to us. And we need to know that he's committed to his part of it, amen, to his part of the bargain, if you will, or the contract. And so we also have to commit ourselves back to him now for the promises of God to be fulfilled in our lives. God has exceeding great and precious promises for his people, but unless we're willing to commit ourselves back to him in full agreement and full trust and faith, we're not going to see those things come to pass. See, I believe God wants to bless us more than we want to be blessed. You see, our relationship with the Lord cannot and should not be based upon convenience. It should be based upon covenant, because we have entered into covenant through the blood of Jesus. And why is that? Because whenever God doesn't live up to the expectations that we put on him, we're at risk of getting offended at God and turning our back on him. Are you hearing me? When God doesn't live up to the expectations that we put on him, not what he said, not what he's promised, but the expectations we put on him, then we are setting ourselves up for offense when he doesn't do what we thought he should do for us. Jesus said in Luke 7:23, he was speaking about John, who had found himself in prison after John had faithfully served him. And John began to even question, is he the one? After he was actually the one who had gone before him and said, you know, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight, a highway for God. John was the one who said, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And now he finds himself in a place where seemingly God has forsaken him. And he's beginning to have second thoughts. I believe that's what was going on. That he was beginning to wonder, did I miss something here? Things are not going the way that I expected they should. Besides, I'm such a good person. I'm such a good servant. Has anybody ever said that to God or thought that at least? Say, you know, God, I've been serving you. I've been doing everything that I know to do right. And why are these things happening to me? And Jesus said, blessed is he who is not offended in me. When we put expectations on God that he never claimed. Are you hearing me? For us. Jesus said, in the world you're going to have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. No matter what, if you live unto me. If you die, you die unto me. Either way, our soul is safe in him. It's the only safe place is in Christ. So what do I mean by convenience? People often align themselves with others, because by doing so, it's good for business. Or it'll make me look good by hanging out with these people. Or because hanging out with so-and-so may get me promoted. What's that? That's called convenience. That's a convenient love. It's, I love you because you make good money. People get married for all kinds of reasons. I'm going to marry you because the benefits are great. Wrong. Or I'll marry her because she's got such a nice body. Or she's a good cook. You know, convenient love is there's something that I want or need from you, and therefore I will connect myself to you or commit myself to the level as long as it's convenient. Well, I won't know if he or she is right for me. So, you know, if you're going to buy a car, you got to what? Test it out first. That's the reason of the world, see. You're not going to know if you're compatible unless you spend some time together first. God says that's fornication. That's a sin unto death. But convenient love is, you've got something I want. I want your body. I want your money. I want the respect that you carry. Whatever it is. True, authentic love is committed love. Covenant love. Sacrificial love, that I'm going to love you irregardless of whether or not I get anything out of you. Aren't you glad that God loved us like that? What was God going to get out of us, folks? A mess. This is the kind of love that we are to dwell in and function out of. Amen? That kind of agape love of God, that whether or not it feels good, I still love and obey God. I serve Him because I'm committed to Him. I'm married to Him. I belong to Him. I'm His property. I'm going to serve the Lord whether or not I have a headache. Whether I'm having a good day or a bad day, it doesn't change anything. I'm still committed to Him. I'm going to serve the Lord even if it means that things don't go well for me in doing so. How many know that many brothers and sisters are paying the ultimate price? They say one statistic is what, every 4 minutes? A Christian is being martyred for Christ in the world. That's the reality of the world we live in. How many know that cannot be convenient love? That's got to be committed love. You've got to know the love of God that passes knowledge. You really need to have the love of God in your heart, amen, to know that no matter what happens, I'm married to Him. I'm not going anywhere. I'm all the way with Jesus. I'm all in. I've made my commitment to Jesus Christ. He is totally committed to me. And therefore, it is safe for me to take this life, what's left of it, and give it back to Him so He can bless it and multiply it. Amen? And we can bear much fruit for Him. We bear fruit because we are in intimacy with Him. There's a song by Don Potter that starts out like this. Can anyone love on command? Can anyone relate without intimacy? Is it possible to know a God who your eyes have never seen? In the Spirit, He's alive. In the Spirit, amen? I can fly. In the Spirit, He is real. You see, love cannot be commanded, folks. True love is consensual. True love is a choice of my will to love. I choose to love. And when you choose to love someone and you begin to pray for those, even your enemies, and you pray for those who may despitefully use you and persecute you and criticize you and mock you or whatever, you pray for those people. Choose to love those people. Don't hate them. Choose to love them instead. Do the opposite. If they curse you, you bless them. Do the opposite. And as you do that, you'll find yourself loving them. The more that you pour your love into your children, the more that you love them. The more that you pour your love into your husband or wife, the more that you will love them. Love has to be consensual, but it has to be a choice of my will to love my wife. And in some cases, you know, folks, love is something that is not even there initially in a marriage. But people get married out of convenience, or they have an arranged marriage that wasn't their choice. But then they learn, in many cases, they learn how to love by choosing to love. Do you understand? We make the choice. It's by faith, folks, that we love. We make the choice to love people. And then what happens is when we agree with the Holy Spirit, who is love, then the love of God is poured into our hearts for people. It's genuine. It's authentic. But that starts with a choice that I'm going to love my enemies. It's easy for any of us to love people who love us, but can we love our enemies? You see, it begins with a step of faith that I'm going to choose to love someone that doesn't love me. And I'm going to do the opposite of what they do to me. And Jesus says, if you do that, your Father in heaven will be pleased. You'll bring pleasure to Him. Because are we not aware that that's what God has done with us? We didn't love Him, folks. We didn't choose Him. He loved us first. He chose to give His life for us. Amen? And He's totally committed to us. We need to really know this, folks, that He is committed to us. Covenant definition is a binding agreement, usually formal, between two or more persons to do or not do something specified, such as a compact or a contract. What does walking in covenant love require? It requires selflessness. If I'm full of me, I can't love. Even if we come together and we worship God, folks, if we're self-centered, we'll miss it. We have to be God-centered, amen? We have to be focusing on Him. We need to come and offer praise and thanksgiving and gratitude to the Lord, amen? It's a choice. If I'm just self-centered and self-focused and self-conscious, I can't worship. If I'm self-centered, I can't love adequately. Because even in my relationships, if I'm self-centered, it's all about what am I going to get out of it and not what I can give. If we would be selfless, then there will be peace among us. Where does the war come? Where does the fighting come? Where does the disagreements come? It comes from our members, our flesh. Amen? It comes from that selfish part of us that wants to be right, that wants to be heard, that wants to be first. If we're selfless, then it's about somebody else. It's not about me. That's what Jesus showed us, folks. The King of Glory, kneeling down and washing the feet of His disciples. I've given you an example. You should do likewise. You should love one another as I have loved you. We've got to get beyond self. We've got to get over ourselves. We've got to grow up in God. Folks, I'm no different than anybody here. When I came to God, it was out of convenience. When I came to God, it was because I did have needs. Anybody beside myself? Come on, we all came because we were desperate. I need something from God. And you know, God is good, and God is loving, and God will give, and God will bless, and God will provide an abundance of grace for every need that we have. Amen? But God wants His people to grow up and become adults. Amen? To where we start loving, we start serving, we start giving. Amen? It's not all about what can I get out of the relationship, it's what can I put into it. And if everybody's putting into the relationships of one another, amen? Come on. You know, it's an explosive situation if you put two selfish people together. You know, marriage works when you're both selfless and you're both there for the other. This covenant with Jesus, it's no different. When we're there, I know He's committed to me, but He's waiting for me to commit myself to Him. It's not just about what I can get from God, because if you just live out of convenience or what I can get from God, as soon as something doesn't go the way that we expect it to go, we're offended and we don't want anything to do with God, or we're mad at God, or we curse God. Are you hearing me? And I marvel at the faith of some, even within this congregation, where they have gone through so much and so much suffering, and yet they have remained faithful to the Lord. They remain in that place, even though, yes, sometimes we're shaken to the core. They still, their anchor holds within the veil, amen. Their anchor holds on Jesus, and they're trusting in the Lord. They say, Lord, I don't understand it, but it's not about convenience. It's not about just when it feels good, I'm going to follow you. It means I'm committed, totally committed to you, just like you're totally committed to me. Amen. It's covenant. I'm in a covenant with Him. 2 Chronicles 16:9 says, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the earth to show Himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is what? loyal to Him. One translation says, the eyes of the Lord search the whole earth in order to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to Him. What is God looking for? That was the question we asked last week. What is God looking for when He chooses His servants? Amen? When He chooses those who He's going to anoint and raise up. He's looking for faithfulness. He's looking for people who, even in the time of testing, even in the time of discouragement, even in a time when things don't seem to be going your way, you're still going to remain steadfast and faithful to Him, understanding that He always remains faithful. Even if we don't understand what He's doing, you've got to go beyond what you see and trust the heart of God, because His heart is love. And He's working all things together like He promised, for the good to them that love the Lord. God is looking for those who will be faithful to Him when it's convenient or not. He's looking to those who will be faithful to Him when it's popular to do so, and when it's not popular to do so. Faithful to Him when there is persecution and opposition. Faithful to Him when prayers seem to go unanswered. Faithful to Him even in suffering. In suffering and injustice. God, that's not fair. No, life is not fair. We live in a sin-sick, twisted world, and things happen that are not fair. But God is fair. And just because we don't understand something doesn't change the character of God. He is faithful and true. Blessed is he who is not offended in me. We need to be faithful to Him even when everything is going great, folks. Sometimes this is the greatest test, is when things are going great, we can become unfaithful to Him. We can get into this delusional thinking that I don't need God. Some of the hardest people to reach in the world are people that have it all the stuff, because they're trusting in that and not in Him. True love, folks, is much more than a feeling. Like that song from Boston. More than a feeling. I thought David probably had that one drop in his. Love is more than a feeling. True love is committed love. It's covenant love and it's sacrificial love. 1 Corinthians 13:4, we know this so well, but I'm going to read from the New Living Translation, if you just hear it for a moment. Love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way. It is not irritable and keeps no record of being wronged. It does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love never gives up, never loses faith, is always hopeful, and endures through every circumstance. You can measure the level of your true love for God in the time of your test, in the time of the difficulty, in the time when everything seems to be falling apart around you and it's not making any sense. Do you love God enough to say, Lord, I don't understand it, but I know who you are. I know in whom I believe. I'm persuaded he's able to keep that my soul that I've committed unto him against that day. It doesn't matter what happens to me. I know that my soul is secure in my God. If we really love God, if we are committed to God, and we understand that He's totally committed to us, then no matter what happens, we will still hold on to Jesus because we trust His heart. Amen. Folks, all of us have been, are being, and will be tested. Love, and your love, my love, will be put to the test. In Proverbs 17:17, it says, a friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. New Living Translation says, a friend is always loyal. You see, a true friend is a friend who is with you in good times and bad times. A true friend is someone who will be with you even when you're not getting along and you have a falling out. Has anybody ever had a falling out with a friend before? Amen. Sometimes our friendships are tested through difficulties. But if it's a genuine friendship and there is true covenant love, even among ourselves here, folks, we are called to covenant love, to be committed fully to one another in Christ. Amen. So that even if we have a bad day or we get offended or somebody hurts my feelings or whatever, there's a misunderstanding, that I'm still committed to you. I'm still going to love you. It doesn't mean I have to go out to dinner with you, but it means that we're going to love one another. Amen. I'm going to love you. And I'm even going to love you if you don't love me back. I remember when I was a kid and we would get into fights on the playground or in the neighborhood, you know, as boys will do, and we would get into a brawl, and then the next thing you know, we're like best buddies. I was kind of curious how that ended up often, you know. And sometimes, you know, even in our relationships and our marriages, you know, you have a falling out. You get into it. You have a spat. Well, that can actually cause your roots to grow deeper and your friendship to go deeper and your love to go deeper. It doesn't have to destroy a relationship. Amen? If it's handled properly, it can actually strengthen us. And you know, sometimes I think we just need to iron sharpen iron, right? Sometimes we just need to bump heads so that we can take a look back and say, okay, I need to get my life calibrated here. And maybe you do too. And let's find out where we're both missing it here. Come on, right? Instead of pointing the finger, let's point a finger at ourselves and say, God, is there anything that I need to change? And if we're both doing that, if everybody does that, then we can learn how to love and get along, because we are in commitment. Amen. We're not in convenience. You know, it's so sad, but too often, even in the church, you got people that come in and they want to be your buddy because you've got something they want. You know, even pastors can get caught up in that, because you want to be the buddy of the one who pays the most, you know, has the biggest tithe, right? Why? Because of convenience? Or do I love that person for who they are? Do I love them because they're family? Because we're friends? Because we belong to Jesus? Amen? How many know what it's like to have people use you? Everybody has been used. How many have had those fair weather friendships? When you have something that they need or they want, they're your best bud. And all of a sudden, you're out of money. Or when I was back in the world, you're out of dope. They're nowhere to be found. Convenient love. It's not true love. It's not covenant love. Yeah. They'll be your friend when the sun is shining and everything is going well. But as soon as you're down and you're having a bad day, where are they at? Too often, people like to kick people when they're down, you know. And they all want to get on the bandwagon instead of helping a brother who's fallen into sin, or, you know, and helping them up out of that situation. And being a friend and even risking your reputation, amen, to love them and to receive them restored instead, so we can all get on the bandwagon and say, he did what? Hey, let me get a kick in too. That's not God's love. Aren't you glad God's into restoration? Amen. God wants to heal. God loves us. How many of you ever stood up for somebody that's being picked on? And even when you knew that by doing so, you might be the next target. That's love. That's committed love. You got a buddy. I had buddies in school that I'd stick up for, you know. I had buddies that would stick up for me. Because we were committed. David had Jonathan. They were soul tied, right? They were like two peas in a pod. I'm with you. You're with me. We're buds. I've got your back, you've got my back. That's commitment. That's covenant love. Amen. They had that kind of relationship that was going to endure even the storms of life and the difficulties, and at times the falling outs that they might have, disagreements they might have. But true love is committed love no matter what. I'm in this for the long run. Come on, say amen, somebody. That's a marriage, isn't it? Job said in Job 23 and 10, "But he knows the way that I take. When he has tested me, I shall come forth as gold." Your love is going to be tested. Psalms 105:17, speaking of Joseph. "He sent a man before them, Joseph, who was sold as a slave. They hurt his feet with fetters. He was laid in irons until the time that his word came to pass." God had given Joseph promises early in his life, remember. And all kinds of stuff happened to Joseph. And then it says the word of the Lord tested him. When God gives a promise, there's often a process that's attached to it. In order for you to receive the promise, there's going to be a process for you to go through that will prepare you and equip you to be able to handle the blessing when it comes. God's working in your character, amen? Through the testings, through the difficulties, it's all working together for good. You've got to know that God loves you. He's for you. He's with you. He's committed to you. No matter what happens to you, physically, emotionally, otherwise, financially, trust the Lord. Trust His heart. God will not fail. God will always come through in His time. That's what we talked about this morning. He was purified by the word through these difficulties. 1 Peter 4:12, Peter said, "Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you." I felt that way, and this is a strange thing that's happening to me. "But rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when His glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy." No matter what we face, we must remember God is totally committed to us. 1 Peter 4:19 says, "Therefore, let those who suffer according to the will of God commit their souls to Him in doing good, continuing to be faithful as to a faithful Creator." Remember, Jesus was totally committed to us. Jesus went all the way to the cross, even though He had struggled in His humanity, and in the garden when He wept great, drops of bloody sweat. And He said, "Father, if it be possible, take this cup from me. Nonetheless, not my will, but yours be done." Jesus went all the way because of His love for us. He was fully committed to us, folks, for our salvation, that we might be with Him today. True love is not based on convenience, but on covenant. And a relationship based on convenience is a shallow relationship with no root. That's why many relationships don't last. Matthew 13:20, "As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures for a while. And when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately he falls away." And that word "falls away" is a word scandalizo, which also means to scandalize, to entrap, to trip up, to stumble or entice to sin, apostasy or displeasure, to offend. In other words, many, because of the persecution and the opposition that they experience because of the word, are going to be offended, and they're going to get offended at God, and they're going to fall away as a result of it, to apostatize. We're living in a time where there is much iniquity. It is abounding, and even the love, the agape, that's the love of God, of many will wax gross. It will wax cold. Amen? It's happening, folks. We're living in those times where people's hearts are becoming more and more calloused and bitter, and even to the point where they will kill people and think that they're doing God a service. This is the trap of the enemy. Such a hearer is one who receives the word of God. He even gives assent to it. It makes a profession of faith in it. And he holds it for a while. And probably is even under some conviction of the truth. And he probably expresses pleasure and delight in the word. You know, I don't know how many times I've sat in services when I was listening to preaching. And the pastor would say something that was wonderful or marvelous. And everybody would stand and clap and say, "Yeah, yeah." And then as soon as something didn't go their way, so often the word is good to us, amen. We receive it with joy. But if it's just convenient love towards God, are you hearing me? As soon as the good feeling is not there, as soon as someone ridicules or laughs at you or puts you out of their company for the word, many are already offended. This is a strange thing that's happened to me. That's why Peter was saying, beloved, don't think it a strange thing. Amen. If the world hates you, that's what Jesus said. If they cast you out of their company, if you're not popular anymore, I want to be popular with Jesus. Come on. It's good. Life is good in the God zone. I have decided. How about you? Because God is totally committed to me, I'm going to be totally committed to Him. All in, because He's all in for me. I've entered into covenant through the blood of Jesus. Have you repented of your sins? Have you confessed them? Have you renounced them? Have you turned away from your sin? You must repent of your sin that you might receive forgiveness of sin. Amen? As your heart might be clean before God and that you might receive His Holy Spirit. If you've done so, you need to understand that in covenant with Him, there's safety. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. God is committed to you. He's not going to leave you or forsake you. And He will be with you always. Trust in Him. Don't look at your situation. Don't look at what's your problem. Don't look at what's broken. Look at Him who is the answer. Trust His heart. Know that the Lord is good. Know that the Lord is with you. And He's for you. Oh God, we thank You for Your word and for Your promise. Teach us how to live committed to You, Lord, fully in, fully committed to You, the One who is fully committed to us. Lord, we want to be found faithful. We want to be found steady to the end. Draw us close to You, Lord. Never let us go. We come to You, Lord. Let our hearts be changed and renewed. Touch us, Holy Spirit, once again. We need Your grace, Lord. We do acknowledge that we have needs. And Lord God, we've come to You out of convenience because our needs are so great. But God, help us to get beyond just asking You for things, asking You for stuff, to enter into intimacy, into relationship with You, to be fully committed to You, to walk with You in new life every day. Hallelujah.